It's tough to get reacclimated with you slow talkers here. there in Oklahoma, they don't talk this slow. But anyway, we're going to get on with this. We have a lot of reading to do. Please turn to Psalms, the 118th chapter. I do appreciate this opportunity to brag on Jesus this morning, and I know that in the times that we live, it is crucial and it is important for us to realize who we are and where we are and who we serve. If you want to stand, that's okay. If you don't, you don't have to. Psalms 118th chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. The house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can men do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as fire of the thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of the rejoicing of the salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is excellent. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord, in which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in my eyes. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind in the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horn of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt thee. And the 29th verse, and if you're not excited yet, you will be. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy, what? Endureth forever. You may be seated. Let's reach out this morning after that great reading and petition God this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this morning for this opportunity. We're thankful for what you have given. God, just impress upon me. Let me be the pipe to their heart and to their ears. Lord, let your will be done. Let they hear the message and not the messenger. God, I just ask that you would lead, guide, and direct. We ask all these blessings in your name, and for your sake we do pray. Amen. We look at this. I'm not going to belabor this whole chapter, but we're going to concentrate on two little simple verses, verse 4 and verse 5. These are some great verses that will encourage you. How many of you need encouragement today? Sure, each and every person here could raise their hand, could we not, and say that we need encouragement. Because in the day and the time that we live, everyone, and I do mean everyone, has trouble and trouble that is brewing. Society in itself has seemingly Christians in their target. And we have an opportunity to share Christ. How many of you like to go through the day just all humdrum and sour in your mouth and, you know, you're just looking down at the ground? That's not what God has for us to do. And we can see that, especially in these first 4, 5, 6 verses. Because it tells us a secret here. It tells us that God's mercy endureth forever. Mercy. What is mercy? Well, let me remind you what it is. Mercy is compassion, forgiveness. It shows each and every one of us within ourselves that there are others out there that have the power to cause us to perish. Mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. If we look at this psalm, in this song, the first part of it is the subject of the song. Well, the subject of the song is something that we need to realize again. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Whenever your feet hit the floor this morning, were you in a prayerful heart and a prayerful mind to thank God for what you have? And that you were able to take that first breath in your conscious mind and to get on with your day. To give God thanks, for He is good. Oh, our Heavenly Father. We see one of the aspects of this is that a single angel is standing at the gate. And this single angel's voice calls on Israel to acknowledge this great fact and this great truth. And he stands at the gate and sings and to proclaim the Lord in hallelujah and praise the Lord. He stands at the gate and beckons Israel to praise God. I can't say that enough. In our Christian life, we need to stand at the gate of our heart and to praise God. Because I can tell you from experience, there's not too many of the Christian faith that is doing it. I really just like using that word anymore, Christian faith. Because there's really not too many that really understand what the Christian faith is. What is the Christian faith? And we see also here within this fourth verse, we also see the chorus. We all love the chorus of the song. Because the chorus of the song repeats. We see in this particular psalm, the chorus is, His mercy endureth forever. Mercy, compassion, and forgiveness. We have compassion and forgiveness from our great Savior. That is something that we, as God's children, should be excited about, that we have a Savior that knows our infirmities. We have a God that tracks us, that knows the hair on your head. My goodness, we have a great Savior. His mercy endureth forever. It's everlasting and everlasting. There's nothing upon this earth that lasts forever. Never. Not even. Not even our great love for individuals lasts forever. Because it is guaranteed that we will have a falling out somewhere within our relationship. I guarantee you. And there again, your love will fail. But we see in this chorus here, and in Exodus 32 and 26, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, we all know the story of Moses, don't we? When he went up to the Mount of Transfiguration and he was communing with God. And that should have been a time of excitement. That should have been a time of enjoyment. And enjoyment in knowing the fact that God's mercy endureth forever. They all knew why he was going to that mountain. They all knew what was going to happen. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Folks, that is a question that is relevant today. It is important today. Are you on the Lord's side? Okay. I heard a few, yeah. A few. If you are on the Lord's side and you follow the Lord, now when you think about your answer, are you on the Lord's side? Then why do we as Christians, as followers of this great God, fail him so many times? Why? And if you are truthful, because you need to look around and see where you are, and then you can figure out that you have failed God, and your only answer is, yes, I have failed God. And I have not always been on his side. But we all have that opportunity to get back to his side. He gives us ample opportunity to get back. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. That's a requirement, folks, for us to go to his side. We must be on the Lord's side. And that means a lot of different areas that sometimes we don't recognize to be on the side of the Lord. That's hard work, isn't it? To always be on the Lord's side. And here he's saying, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Because they had been misbehaving. And they were to the point, we'll see here in just a moment, that they were about to elect a captain to take them back to Egypt. Think about that in your Christian life and in your service to Him. We all just thought, yep, I'm on His side. But when things get tough, when life gets hard, there is a moment within our realization that we say, God, why? God, why am I here? And Moses was there. Moses tells them, let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And look at Numbers 14:4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. When things get hard, we have a tendency to run. We have a tendency to run away from God, even though, folks, we know that His mercy, His compassion, His forgiveness endureth forever. We have a tendency to run. I can't tell you how many church-going families that I've talked to over my ministry that said, this was hard. I don't understand why God's doing this to me. It's going to be a while, Pastor, before we're back. We've got to figure this out. Hello? Hello? God, I don't know why you're doing this to me. I've got to figure this out. I've never realized that. How can you figure it out when you're not in the house of God? Whenever we're having difficulties of life, where should we be? In the house of God. That is the place that we should be. Finally, we get to the chorus again, the choir. Let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron, let them that fear the Lord. Now, like every good choir, they must rehearse. Even in this psalm, there is a rehearsal. And in this rehearsal, he says, let them now say, that they may be better, what? Prepared for universal praise hereafter. Prayer. Prayer is a rehearsal for life. Prayer is a rehearsal for life. Because if you don't know how to pray and to seek the face of God, how will you ever know that His mercy endureth forever? Prayer. Practice. Rehearse your prayer. Because when things get tough, if you do not have an adequate prayer life and you do not rehearse your prayer, not a repeated prayer, but to rehearse the fact to where to go and who to ask and what to ask. When things get real hard, and let me tell you, if they're not hard now, they will be. How will you know the proper procedure to seeking God's face? I thought about our wedding. We did rehearsal and rehearsal and rehearsal and rehearsal for our wedding, to where we would, without a doubt, get it right. But even with all of that rehearsal, we didn't get it right. I'm standing at the altar waiting. Everybody is waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. The piano player had played so much she couldn't play any more songs. She didn't know anymore. And she was back in a room with her mother. And I thought, well, let me think for a minute. I know this building, and I can see the front door to that room, and I know that there's no back door. But I thought for a second, there is a very large window. And about that time, Little Miss Beauty come out the door. And I was rehearsing my prayer. Oh, God, let her come out that door, please. And in life and in marriage and in our Christian way of life, we rehearse every day our activities to rehearse our universal praise. I said all that to get to verse 5. Verse 5 is the crux. It's the deep part. I call upon. That is a figurative speech. I call upon. I call upon. Think about that for a minute. I call upon. We call upon the Lord when? My Bible says in distress. We have a great Savior to call upon in distress. We can all say, if you are any age at all, what distress is. They are, when we are in distress, folks, it is not the most pleasant time of our life. It is a hurtful, it is a cumbersome, it is a mind-bending, heart-breaking moment because we are in distress. And sometimes we don't know what to do. Think about that in your Christian life, and then think about the rehearsal. I don't know what to do. Those are some of the most troublesome words that I think could ever come out of a Christian's mouth. I just don't know what to do. You need to rehearse some more. Because in the first part of this, and in verse 4 and verse 5 and 1, 2, 3, 4, it gives us the answer to the question. The mercy and the compassion and the forgiveness of our great God. My goodness. It was a season. Look at verse number 5. This gives us a season for prayer. And there's another thing that just gets underneath my saddle while we're talking about things underneath my saddle. Is Christians, God-fearing, saved individuals that come out and to say, I just don't know what to do. I call upon the Lord in distress out of our anguish when nothing was left for me but prayer. When we just don't know what to do, we always have a direct line to the fixer. We always have a direct line to the equalizer. We always have a direct line to my great Savior and my coming King, that His mercy endureth forever. We have, folks, a way out of every kind of anguish and distress that is imaginable. And you've seen those Christians, haven't you? That are just beside themselves, and they walk around and they, you know, their head's down like this and their shoulders are down like this, and they just seemingly have lost their best friend. And you began to talk to them about the situations that they're in. And more than likely, that same response, I just don't know what to do, and the Lord has it in for me, and I just don't know, and blah, 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 blah. And you come up with a great plan, and you ask them, well, have you prayed about it? Prayed about it. Well, I went to church. Did you pray about it? Well, we sung in the choir today. Did you pray about it? I talked to my BFFs today. Did you pray about it? And more likely, the answer is no. Now, God is a great mind reader. He knows everything about you and what you're going through. But He wants to hear it from you. He wants to hear it from you. And when the hot breath of Satan has fallen all over you, and when nothing was left, we will always have the privilege of prayer. The privilege of prayer. He possessed all things. The privilege of prayer. Seemingly, in our Christian life, and doesn't matter if you're young, old, or in the middle, we seem to forget about the positiveness of prayer. I'll remind you again, God is on the throne, and prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Because that is a prayer that we rehearse. God, I am beside myself. I don't know what to do, but I'm thankful that Your mercy endureth forever, and I know that You do, and God, please step in. Because I am weary, worn, and broken. and in our humanness, in our pride, that's something that we never want to confess, is it? That we are a society of people that are broken in so many ways. But let us always remember that His mercy endureth forever. And out of distress, the heart goes into God's all-supplying heart. Our prayer, where does our prayer go? Do you think it just goes up here and kind of hovers around a little bit? Where do our prayers go? Our prayer goes from our heart to His. He hears each and every prayer. Every situation of life. And just whenever we think that we have seen it all, buckle up, because the ride's going to get bumpy. Like was mentioned this morning, if they can go after some of our children's books from 40 and 50 years ago, who's to say they can't go after this blessed book of 2,000 years ago? And then what will you do? Will you revolt? Will you say, oh my goodness, that's so tough? Or will you do something about it? Christians as a whole, we're very passive people. And we kind of just let things go. Well, folks, letting things go is in the past. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. Well, I'm kind of thankful that the Apostle Paul offended a few people. He stood up and he got the message out and got the job done. We just want to just go on with life. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The answer is in the season. The Lord answered. What kind of a feeling do you feel when the Lord answers you? Do you feel it? Or is that feeling kind of cumbersome and you really haven't felt it in a while because you haven't been rehearsing? That is my biggest fear. And when the government comes in and says, I need to see everybody's vaccination passport. Do y'all have your vaccination passport? They'll pull out their trusty little iPad and dial it all up, and they'll say, you don't have your vaccination passport. That means that you've got to leave. Where will you stand? Where will you stand? Knowing that God's mercy endureth forever. Will you stand? Or will you just leave? That needs to be an item of your constant prayer. Give me the encouragement, O God, to stand. Whenever we read about that word stand in this great book, it means one thing. It means to stand. And not only to stand, but to stand with fervency. If you've ever had to lift something up that was very hard, and you couldn't get it up very hard or very high, and your arms begin to shake because you're using every muscle in your arms that you have. That's what it's referring to, that we stand with all that we have until we just vibrate. We have the ability to stand because God is on our side. The answer beyond the request, and he set me. He set me. God brings all out of their distressful place and plants us in the well-watered plains of delight. He plants us in the well-watered plains of delight and puts me in that wide place. God. God. And if we just peek, for those that still have your Bible open, if we just peek down to that sixth verse, and in my Bible, with that sixth verse, right there, looking at me, I've got the word glory. The Lord is on my side. Do not ever forget that He is on your side, and that His mercy endureth forever. We are on, there's a song that is sung, I don't know if y'all sing it anymore here, I haven't heard it in a long time, that says, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. I don't mean this to be negative, but we need to start acting like we're on the winning side because God's mercy endureth forever. He is there every day standing beside you, willing to give you what you stand in need of. Why don't you just reach out and to touch Him and say, Lord, I need your touch. I need your touch. Life has not been good. I have strayed so far away from you, O Lord. I have strayed, and I need to feel the touch. Let the rehearsal begin today.